Our scripture passage tonight is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses, and then chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. This is the word of the Lord. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And then Acts chapter 7. This is after Stephen gave a beautiful sermon to the people that were there, talked to them about what the history of their people was like and what they did to the prophets and to the teachers. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, our Savior, glorified in the death of Stephen. We see it, first of all, in Stephen's prophetic witness, and then secondly, in Stephen's priestly intercession, and then thirdly, in Stephen's kingly dying. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our text tonight is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. You know, but actually this ought not to be called the book of the Acts of the Apostles, because what we read in this book are not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Lord Jesus. We do not focus our attention on the life of Peter or James or John or Stephen before us now tonight, but we see the work of the Lord. We see how the glorified King went forth conquering and to conquer. There are two books in the Bible that the unbeliever especially hates. One is the book of Joshua, and the other is the book of Acts. Because both those books proclaim how God is moving and how God is conquering and to conquer in this world in which we live. And so we want to see that conquering hero tonight. I could speak about Stephen, about his martyrship. I remember that story when I was very young in Sunday school. The teacher had a way of talking to us and explaining that story to us, and it was riveting. And I will never forget how Stephen fearlessly proclaimed the historic redemptive story of Jesus, and how the Jews got so angry with him because he said he saw the open heaven and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they took him outside the city and threw stones at him. And how finally Stephen fell on his knees and offered a high priestly prayer. And yet, beloved young people, I don't want to talk too much about him tonight. Because what God reveals in this beautiful story is not simply a story about Stephen. But what he reveals to us is the glory of the Lord Jesus. Stephen saw the glory of God. But in that prayer, in the extremity of his life, we see nothing less than the revelation of the glory of God. Stephen was quite a man. He was a deacon in the early church. Now, we have the idea of that threefold office in the church to be separated. There are people in church who think that a deacon is, well, they're just the ones that deal with finances. We have a beautiful word for that. We say the deacons are actively involved in the ministry of mercy. And that's beautiful. But oftentimes we reduce that office of deacon to something that is merely financial. But Stephen, we read, was a deacon who was not only busy with the administration to the poor, but he was also a powerful preacher as well. He spoke that beautiful sermon, one of the most beautiful sermons on record, as he spoke before the Sanhedrin. And in that sermon, before the Sanhedrin, Stephen went through the redemptive revelation of God step by step. And he spoke about Abraham. Abraham, who was the father of all believers. Abraham, who lived by the very promises of God. And then he said to them, but you didn't listen. You didn't understand what Abraham was all about. And then from Abraham, he went into the story of Moses, and he painted the life of that mediator. But also he implied to the Sanhedrin, but you who know so much about Scripture, you who know that very particular place of Moses in the dramatic unfolding of God's redemptive revelation, Moses as the mediator of God, but you did not recognize him as such. And then Stephen talked about the wilderness and about the tabernacle of God in the wilderness. But he said, you had the idea that God was simply boxed in. We've got him in this little box now in the wilderness. But what God was trying to get across was that his wonderful grace made him willing to live in the midst of his people, even in that wilderness. But you missed it, said Stephen. And he talked about the temple, and he talked about Solomon. He talked about the kingship of David. And finally he said, they didn't listen to the prophets either. And you don't listen to the prophets. In fact, you killed the righteous one. You betrayed and murdered the Lord of glory. And when he said that, when he said that these people never understood what God had in mind with Abraham or Moses or David or Solomon, the temple, the tabernacle, finally he said, "You killed the righteous one." And they dragged him out of the city and they stoned him to death. But amazingly, while they stoned Stephen, actually, of course, they didn't stone Stephen, they stoned Jesus. They didn't have anything against Stephen as such. He was a good man. But he proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed the truth. And Jesus even said to his disciples, "They hate me because I proclaim the truth, and they're going to hate you when you proclaim the truth." Because you see, Stephen talked about Abraham and about Moses and about David, and he placed these biblical characters in the light of the coming messianic promises. And that was too much for the Sanhedrin to swallow. Therefore, they took up stones. They crucified Jesus, but they wanted to crucify him all over again in the death of Stephen. They took up stones, we read. And then the ironic thing in our text, beloved, is this, that Stephen, while these stones were raining down on him, Stephen said, "I see heavens open, and I see the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God." And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus is Lord. You crucified him. You tried to squelch his prophetic witness by stoning me, but I acknowledge him as the Lord and the Master. He is at the right hand of God, and he is Lord." And then that beautiful prophetic prayer of Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That's a quotation, by the way. A quotation not only of Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit," but it goes much further back than that. It goes back to Psalm 31, verse 5. When the little children in Israel went to sleep at night, then they prayed this prayer, "Lord, into your hands I leave my spirit." Now that's something very similar to what we teach our own children. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." We had to get rid of that last line. It was too disturbing. So they said, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Oh, no, no. Instead, let's do, "Guard me, Jesus, through the night, and wake me with the morning light." It's the same. But children are taught from a young age to put their soul in the hands of Jesus. And that prophetic prayer was prayed by this man, Stephen, when he saw the heavens open and when he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God, and in prophetic witness, he said, "And still, Jesus is Lord." You who teach your children to pray, put your spirit in Jesus' hands. There's no safer place. Children, with the Lord Jesus, there's always safety. "Lord, you take care of my spirit." And so in his death, Stephen witnessed prophetically. And he proclaimed to Israel, "Jesus is Lord. For when I say, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit,' I am saying that I can leave my spirit in the hands of God. For Jesus is God, and he is Lord." And secondly, not only do we see Christ glorified in Stephen's prophetic witness, we also see Christ glorified in Stephen's priestly intercession. He says in his prayer, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Beloved, the dying Stephen did not pray for himself. I have a hard time understanding that. Did this man not know that he had his own sins? Did he not know that in the final minutes of his life, that the magnitude of his own sins and his shortcomings were right before him? Doesn't he know that soon he's going to stand before the judge of all judges, to whom he must give an account? Oh, he knew that. Did he not leave his friends and his parents and his brothers and sisters, his wife, who knows? Does he not know that he's about to leave all of his loved ones behind? Yes, he knew that. And yet, he did not pray for himself. He did not pray like we often will think we have to do. No. He prayed for his enemies. He saw these angry Jews, and he felt those stones hitting them. And he knew that he only had minutes to live. And while he was being stoned, he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And the question we ask now tonight is, how could Stephen pray such a prayer? Knowing that he was a sinner himself, knowing that he would soon meet the judge of all judges, how could this man of God pray for his enemies in the last moments of his life? Well, beloved, remember what I said in the introduction? This is not the gospel of Stephen. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And remember what we read about Stephen? This man, we read, was full. He was full of the Spirit of God. This man saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God. And he knew, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ Jesus who lives within me." And was it not the Lord Jesus himself who on the cross of Calvary prayed for those who nailed him to that cruel, wicked piece of wood? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Stephen was filled with the Spirit of the living Christ, and he did not pray for himself. He did not pray for his loved ones. He himself was committed to the everlasting arms of Jesus. And in imitation of Jesus, he prayed for his enemies. And brothers and sisters, that prayer was heard. Because we read an amazing bit of information in this passage, right while the sacred writer tells us dramatically about the death of Stephen, he also adds something. He says, the witnesses of this stoning of Stephen laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. That young man was there too. That young man hated the name of Jesus and all that it stood for. That young man utterly despised what Stephen was doing. Undoubtedly, that young man, knowing his character, was cheering them all on as they were stoning Stephen. But that young man, not much later, was to see the heavens open as well. And he was to see the glory of Jesus while he's on the road to Damascus. He was to ask, "Lord, who are you?" And he became the greatest spokesman for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And therefore, when Stephen eyes the crowd, and when in the extremity of his life he prayed, he saw Saul, undoubtedly, and all the others, and he said, "Lord Jesus, do not charge them with this sin. Do not hold this against them." And that priestly prayer was heard. And that prayer was answered. And then finally we see how Jesus Christ was glorified in Stephen's kingly death. In these words, "And he fell asleep." You don't read that too often in the Bible, do you? You read that people die, and he was no more. That's the constant recurring phrase that you read in the Bible. They reach a ripe old age, sometimes not even all that ripe. And then you read, "And he died, and he died, and he died." Stephen
fell asleep. How can that happen? You ever get hit with something like a stone and think about sleeping? Probably not. But we read he did not die. He died kingly. He was not a victim. We're tempted to see him as a victim in this story. We're almost ready to say, well, it all began so wonderfully in that book of Acts. The Holy Spirit fell upon the church, and these people spoke in different languages, and they all praised God, and thousands were added to the church in one day. What a mighty progress of the kingdom of God in those opening chapters of Acts. But now we come to this horrible interlude, this story of Stephen. Here is where the church receives a real blow. He was a man who could not be missed, you know. He was a deacon. He was full of the Spirit of God. He performed miracles. He preached, and he preached beautiful sermons inspired by the Spirit. You can't miss a man like that. And yet, Jesus was glorified, beloved, in the death of Stephen, because Stephen was not a victim. He was not a hapless martyr. Remember, he saw the heavens open, and he saw Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. He saw an open heaven. And this was not death for him. He slept. He was enveloped in the glory of God, and death for him was simply a stepping from this life into the life of glory. He fell asleep. He died kingly. He prayed for his enemies. He witnessed powerfully for his Lord. And eventually he walked from Jerusalem into the heavenly Jerusalem, right into the everlasting arms of Jesus. As a king, not as a victim. How could he be so sure? How could he be so confident of that? How could he fall asleep while these stones rained on him, while his whole body ached? How could this man fall asleep? Why wasn't he rebellious? Why didn't he cry out, "Oh God, help me"? How could he simply fall asleep in the arms of Jesus? Well, you know the answer. Jesus did not fall asleep. Jesus died. You never read that Jesus fell asleep on the cross of Calvary. He died, and he died a most gruesome death. He did not see an open heaven. He did not see his heavenly Father in glory. He did not hear his heavenly Father say, "Never mind, son, it will soon be over." No. No, for Jesus, the heavens were closed. They were like brass. It was dark. There were no openings. We hear him cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The heavens were shut tight. Jesus died. But Stephen knew that. And he knew that because of Jesus' death, the heavens could never again be closed. They had to be open. The temple curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And now Stephen says, "I see them. I see them open." And he saw Jesus, the living Lord, not the victim who died on the cross of Calvary. No, he saw the resurrected Lord, the glorified Lord. He saw him at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And therefore Stephen, so to speak, could walk right up to him. And his death was a falling asleep in Jesus, only to open his eyes and awake to the glories of heaven. Stephen died like a king because he witnessed as a prophet, and he interceded as a priest, and he walked with his Lord. So, brothers and sisters, young people, How is it with you?
We are dying people. We don't know when. But we are reminded from time to time that we're not here forever. Man knows not his time. But do you know that the heavens are open? Do you know that the heavens are not darkened and made of brass and nothing can get through? Do you know that you can walk straight from this earth into the glories of heaven? Do you know that you can fall asleep in Jesus? Yes. Yes, you know that. Because He died for you. And He died for me on the cross of Calvary. And now, parents, please know this. And train your children to know this too. That you must be a witness for your Lord prophetically. You must intercede for others as priests. And you must say, it is no longer I who live, but it is King Jesus who lives within me. So be it. And all God's people said, Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How glorious it is to know that this little lump of earth, this piece of dust that you have created, may have the privilege of walking into the everlasting arms of Jesus when we leave this earth. Give us that confidence, Father. For the times are difficult. We need the encouragement. We need the strength to know that as witnesses to your name and as people who intercede on behalf of others, that we also may demonstrate that it is King Jesus who lives within us. We pray this for Jesus' sake.